Today's message is hope. Hope for the hopeless. Hope for those who have no hope. Hope. Well, the noun hope is aspiration, desire, wish, expectation, ambition, aim, plan, dream. The verb, expect, anticipate, look for, wait for, be hopeful of, pin one's hopes on. None of those are correct. Those are the definitions that we would find in the dictionary for what hope is. But biblical hope is rooted in the belief of God's promise. So whenever we are giving ourselves or bringing hope into our lives, hope is based upon the promise of God. Now, we talk about the blessed hope, the return of Jesus Christ. Now, whenever we're looking at hope in that perspective, the return of Jesus is coming sometime in our future. And it is an event that we haven't arrived at, but it is a certain event. That's a promise. That's the hope that the Scripture speaks of when we say we have hope in our Savior. We have hope that we are believing for, anticipating what God is going to do whenever we believe for a promise, whenever we are aware of God's presentation of a gift, or the scriptural promise, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So those are ever-present hope that is in our life. So trusting in God's faithfulness despite the circumstances. Hope, it is confident expectation and anticipation of what God has promised. So we are expecting something from God. Now, ladies who have had children, you have been expecting, and you had a delivery, right? Well, the understanding is when we are expecting that God has birthed something, God has conceived some promise in our heart and our life, and that promise will be birthed. It will come to pass. So that is the hope. So, if a lady is pregnant with child, she doesn't say, I hope I can give birth. She's going to give birth. The aspiration, desires, expectation, there is a definite period of time that is going to pass, and then the event will happen. Right, ladies? I wouldn't know, but anyhow, I want you to know, bring that up for your memory. Now, so it is a confident expectation and anticipation of what God has promised, even when circumstances may seem the opposite of what that hope is. It is not wishful thinking, but a firm assurance in God's character and his ability to fulfill his word. An assurance in God's character. Whenever we would, somebody would make you a promise, and some people make promises all the time and they have no intention of keeping them, so you know their character. The character of God is that he does not lie. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he has promised, he will do. And so in our life, when we receive those promises in our life, we have a confident expectation that God is going to do what he said he will do. Psalm 42:5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. The hope thou in God and the help of his countenance. That goes back to what we were saying about Moses. When the presence of God passed before him, he saw goodness. It's like... I've passed by people and they say, isn't he fat? And I didn't see anything else. They just said, he's heavy, He should go on a diet. they didn't see goodness. that's a story. But the idea is we would pass by someone and what do we see? Generally we see, if we know them, we see, there's this person, that person, does this, does that. But whenever God passes by, we see his goodness, we see his mercy, we see his grace. So why are you cast down on my soul? Why are you all upset? Hope thou in God, a steadfast confidence. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the power of the Holy Spirit we abound in hope. So hope isn't a wishful thinking. It isn't the magic wand of Disney. Hope is that which we are steadfast in because of the Word of God that has been planted in our life. On August 5th, 2010, there was a mine disaster in Chile, and 33 miners were trapped beneath the surface of the earth in a cave. Now, the walls of the mine crumbled around them, is what has been told, and they knew they were sealed in a tomb-like space with little hope of survival. But one of the frightened men was a follower of Jesus Christ named Jose Enriquez. He later wrote, "In the shadow of darkness in that mine, it became crystal clear that God was our only hope, our only resource. I shared this thought with my friends in a conversation early in the ordeal. At that time, they told me, 'Mr. Jose, we want you to lead us in prayer.' Jose did so. He organized times of prayer for the men. He told them God didn't need a door or a mine shaft to be there with them. He could move through the stone as their 34th person, their companion. It took an agonizing 69 days before the miners were rescued. But during that time, he was able to lead 22 men to faith in Christ." Jose later would say, "We stubbornly held on to hope. Even while we were trapped inside the dark interior of the mine, we held on to hope." Hope is a confident expectation and anticipation of what God has promised in every circumstances, even when circumstances seem bleak. Hope is that which God has promised. Now, I've received phone calls lately of individuals that they want us to pray for them because they watch the news and they are so disquieted, discomforted, or depressed because of what's going on. They don't know what's going to happen. They don't know how the world is going. Is it going to end? Is there going to be a World War III? Is there going to be Israel and Iran? Is there, you know, all these things are going on. And the person said, told them, don't watch the news. But the challenge is for us that many feel like their life is caving in on them. And they're looking for someone who has a stubborn, this is a good stubborn. Now, some people are just stubborn, and I won't call anybody's name. But anyhow, and I won't ask you to raise your hand if you know somebody who's stubborn. If you're beside somebody you know who's stubborn, you raise your hand. I thought it was funny, you know. But they need, you know, a person who has a stubborn faith, that just doesn't give up, doesn't quit, has an expectation of what God is going to do. In the darkened world, people are drawn to a genuine and true godly hope. People want to have hope. They don't want to be discouraged. They don't want to feel like their world is coming to an end. They want to believe that there's something good in all of this. Well, there is. God has a plan. When we're safe in God's hands, we are safe in this life and in the next. Hope is waiting eagerly for something we know is going to happen. It's not a maybe hope. It's not an if only hope. If only these events happen this way, then we'll have, no. We have hope no matter what happens in the world. And we find that this Jose in Chile, who would ever think to be in a cave-in for 60 days or 60-some days. Who would ever think that you could survive? But somehow they did. And he organized a prayer time for each of the men in the cave. It is a certainty. It is an expectation. Hope is a certainty. It's an expectation of a coming event that we can be certain because God has promised. He has promised it to us. And his promises are yes and amen, meaning that amen is be it even as we have prayed. So we must remember that God has promised to work all things for our good. He has promised to work all things together for good to those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. Jesus is Master, Savior, Messiah, Everlasting Word, Prince of Peace, Creator, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. So we find that what avenue of our life is there that God is not King of, ruler of? See, God can turn what we feel as curses or problems into blessings. He is here to guide us through life. He has promised never to abandon us, to help in every situation, to be with us in life and in death, to provide a heavenly home for us. He even told us, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. God is working things according to his plan. God is working things according to his promise. And so he calls for us to believe and to have hope. So we have hope, an expectation of good that God is going to work in our lives. But we need to have a hope-filled mind. Not a mind-filled. A hope-filled mind. Okay, Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it isn't the world that's the evening news that's going to shape our world and the commentaries that follow, no matter which perspective we want to listen to. They are not in control. They are hopefully just reporting the facts. But we won't talk about that. But we are finding that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds because we are renewing our minds in the scriptures. We find in Psalm 145:17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We are to call upon him. God wants to hear your prayers. He wants to hear your conversation. Because how can God answer what we don't say? He's not a silent partner. He is an ever-engaging Savior. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. Did you know God is conscious of the desires of your heart and the things that you are longing for and looking for? God is conscious of those. He hears the cry and saves them. This is one of those scriptures that needs to be part of our mind. You know, filled our hearts and mind to remember what God has promised us. Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who wait on the Lord, wait, not only has an understanding of being patient, but is that we are seeking God. We are seeking him, actively seeking him. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So what is it telling us? That we are to have hope in our presentation of our needs to God, our giving of praise to God for what he has accomplished. Did you know that when you are aware of the prophecies that God has given in his word, that they become anchors to your soul? When we are aware that God has promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that is an anchor to your soul to hold you in times of, you know, the tide coming in and out and the rough seas. 1 Corinthians 15:51. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's a hope. That is the hope that is to fill our minds and hearts. No matter what happens in life, whether I'm sick or well, whether things are going right or all going wrong, we know that God is going to return. Jesus will return. The trumpet's going to sound, and Christ will return, and we are going to be forever with him. That's an anchor. That is a hope-filled mind. So whatever the difficult circumstances may be, the knowledge. See, that's why it's important to read the scriptures. That's why it's important to come to church, to hear the word. Faith comes by hearing the scriptures. So when we hear the word, what are we doing? We're placing it within our minds and our hearts. What that does is gives us hope. It gives us an understanding. Our faith is not something made up of wishful thinking. Our faith is made up of facts. Our faith is made up of Jesus Christ, who he is, what he has taught us. He is alive. He is well. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit is here working in our lives, leading and guiding, protecting. The angels of the Lord, the angel of the Lord is encamping round about those who fear him, meaning reverence God. So the angels of God are around you. Believe it or not, they're there. So we have this anchor to our soul and to our life because we know what the truth is. The truth is, I'm God's. Nothing can separate me from him. This knowledge is given to us through the scriptures. This knowledge is inspired by the Holy Spirit. I'm not indoctrinating you. I'm not, say, you got to do this, you got to do that, no. I'm allowing us, presenting the text of the scriptures and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak them to your spirit, to your heart and to your mind. I'm not trying to convince you of something. I'm presenting the truth to you, and you get to choose. And the Holy Spirit is helping you to understand and make that application to your life. So the Holy Spirit inspires it. Things of this earth are changing. The time of Christ's return is closer than we ever thought imaginable, but it's closer today than it was yesterday. That's kind of like one of those old, it's closer to the new year than it was yesterday too. But we are looking at our world around us. We're looking at the situations and the prophecies and all those things. The coming of the Lord is not that, according to fulfilling of scriptures, he could come today. But, we got to prepare for him to come today, live as if he's not coming for another 6 months. Why? Got to make plans. So, prophetic events are happening all around us. The resurrection of the dead, the future kingdom of Christ, the certain hope of a new heaven and a new earth, these are all presented to us in the scripture of what is yet to come in the future. When our minds are filled with God's precepts, when our minds are filled with his promises, these instructions will transform our life so that we can live our life in the world around us. We live our life for Christ in the world around us. We do not allow the anti-Christ mentality to be part of our person. We allow Christ's riches to be part of who we are. So we have hope. We have a hope-filled mind. And we have a hope-filled mood. I won't ask how many are moody. The definition of a mood is considered to be a temporary state of mind or a feeling. But a hope-filled mind is established in fulfilled promises that God has given to us. So if I ask you what kind of a mood are you in? We used to do this whenever I worked with the Dean Ornish Heart Disease Reversal Program. We would be in a group and we'd ask people to say, what kind of a day is it? Is it a good day, bad day, or nah day? And so then they would do that, and then you say, okay, now put a word with the up, down, so you put a word with it. Then after you put a word with it, you put a story with it. Okay? And what had happened is that's a way that people could release the tensions and so on and hopefully help heal their heart disease and help them. There's other parts to it, but that was one aspect of this program. But in our life, we're looking at things, and there is not, whether we are up or down, and the word that we have and the situation we have, we can give praise to God that He is with us in every situation. Whether it is exciting or not so exciting or just the blah day, God is there with us to help us, lead us through. So the mood of many individuals can be one of despair or fear. God wants us to have a hope-filled life that has begun in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that touches our spirit, that fills our soul, one that fills our mind with promises that God will keep. He has never lied. He is not a man that he should lie. He is God. And what he gives to you is eternal. What he promises you will last forever. Proverbs 10:28 says, "The hope of the righteous will be gladness." The hope of the righteous is gladness. Psalm 31:24, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord." He will strengthen your hope. Romans 15:13. "Abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Abound in hope. The positive expectation of a promise that God is going to bring to fruition in your life. Abound in hope. You know, well, I don't want to be disappointed. God will not disappoint you. He will continue to work in our life in a way that builds us up in our most precious and holy faith. We need to see how we need to see how verses like these are interwoven into our life. They're interwoven into our life that we are capable of being. We're different than what you were a year ago because of the promises that God has interwoven into your heart and mind and soul and spirit and thinking. That God has given you a perspective that is different than people who don't have faith. What perspective God has given to you is one of hope and expectation, assurance, belief, promises, peace, that God will never leave you nor forsake you, that God can build a hedge about you to protect you, that He is beneath you, He is above you, He's to the right of you, He's to the left of you, He's in front of you, He's behind you, He's inside you. You can't get more covered than that. And everything that, and all of those dimensions are spoken of in the Scripture, that God is with us. The kind of hope that wraps the heart in brightness, that the glow of your heart in the spiritual realm. You know, there's what they call, is it a black light? You know, you turn off the lights and you have this some whatever and you see the glow. Do you know, I think that when in we have the light of the Spirit, and I bet, that's why in difficulties, Christians are people who are able to have hope in difficulties. I think because when the darkness comes in, there's a glow. There's a glow from your heart and from your soul. It's like that light inside of you. It's the Spirit alive. There's a story of a lady named Clara, and I don't know how to pronounce her last name. She was a teenager when the Nazis came to her home in Transylvania and sent her and her mother to live in the ghetto of a city, and that's whenever they were rounding up the Jews in the surrounding communities, and they would force them into a small area of a town, and they were only allowed within certain blocks, and they built walls and barricades to keep the Jews in a certain area, and it was called the ghetto because they didn't provide for them. People died of starvation, and they waited there until they were piled into cattle cars and shipped off to Auschwitz, which was a concentration camp. Clara says that she and her mother survived because of a faith and hope. Now, over 500,000 people died in that camp. But we know that there were some who did survive, and Clara was one of them. And in the darkness of despair, like the darkness in the cave-in, there was hope in the heart of an individual that kept them in the deepest and darkest places of life. We're noticing how hope tends to surface in difficult circumstances. You know, we're not waiting for them. God, I need some difficult circumstances so I can have some hope. Let's bypass the circumstances and just have hope, okay? So we have a hope-filled mind, a hope-filled mood. We have a hope-filled message. You have a hope-filled message. If our minds are filled with this biblical hope, and it is saturating our personality, it will be shared with others in word, in actions, and even in your personality. We have hope. We live in hope. Not wishful thinking. It doesn't mean we're naive. It doesn't mean blind optimism. And our theme song is, "Don't worry, be happy." That's not our song. I didn't sing it, thank God. So he would lose all hope in that case. But anyhow, verse 2 Corinthians 3:12, "Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech." I know things are going to be all right. Not because of the universe and the stars, but because of a Savior who is in my heart. There's a story of Christina Tsai. She is Chinese. She was the 18th of the 24 children born to a political family. She grew up devoted to Buddhism, but she was introduced to Christianity by missionaries who taught English lessons. When she trusted in Christ as her Savior, her family opposed her, caused her a lot of suffering. The one brother came to her one day and said, "Tell me about Christianity and why you became a Christian." She told him about the gospel and how it filled her with hope. See, this is the difference that we have that we don't often recognize. The world has no hope. The religions of the world don't have hope. They have no expectation. Reincarnation. You want to be good enough to keep coming back and achieving a higher form so that if you reach the highest form possible, you will become a drop of water in the ocean of nothingness. That's hope. You know why that in that religion, they don't help the poor? They have no ways of helping the poor because they believe that these poor people are being punished for previous life problems that they didn't resolve, and reincarnation is punishing them for being bad in their previous life, and you can't help them out of that or you'll be hurting them and being reincarnated again to a higher form. That's a good way to get yourself absolved from helping people. But you see, we have hope. And it's Christians who touch people's lives, who go to places where there are no hope, there is no hope, where things are devastated. And what do? We give them hope. Why? Because we give them Christ. Jesus is our hope. Hope is rooted in God's provisions. Hope is rooted in God's provisions. I know that God will provide for me. I know He will make a way for me. On mountaintops or on the stormy seas, I know my God is there for me. It is a confident expectation. Hope is an expectation and anticipation of what God has promised that He will do in our life, and that He will open doors, give us inspiration, give us dreams and aspirations. You see, to have a hope-filled mind is to know what the Scriptures say, the the promises that are there. To have a hope-filled spirit, I'm one with God. I'm forgiven. His spirit and my spirit are together. He is in me and I am in him. A hope-filled mood. Yeah, we can have bad days, but you know what? God is good. He's good all the time. Help me, Lord. Elevate my mood. God gives us a hope-filled message. Everything's going to be all right. Not because of the stars, not because of the horoscope, but because of Jesus. I'll be okay. So even if the ground caves in around us, and you're like the miners in Chile, you believe that God is going to come through for you. Like Christina, who was raised in a Buddhist family, she was changed by the message of Christ that gave her hope. Do you know Fanny Crosby? She was a lady. She was a lady who wrote over, I have it written down here, somewhere, 8,000 songs. When she was a baby, when she was born, she was able to see, but at 6 weeks or somewhere in there, they put a poultice, that was one of those things they put in people to help them get better. Well, anyhow, they blinded her. And when she was 8 years old, she wrote her first poem. She says, "Oh, what a happy child I am. Although I cannot see, I am resolved in this world content I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that many people don't. To weep and sigh because I am blind, I cannot and I won't." That's an 8-year-old girl. And she went on to write, "Blessed assurance, he hideth my soul, redeemed how I love to proclaim it, near the cross, to God be the glory, draw me nearer, safe in the arms of Jesus, I am thine, O Lord." She wrote all of these songs, and she was blind. Not because of something in her birth, but something that someone did trying to help her. She didn't talk about how bad she was. She always thought about how good God is. That is a hope that is in our heart and in our life. And no matter what the circumstances, I have hope in this life and in the life to come because of what Jesus has given to me. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand, shall we? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace, hope. Yeah, this song is written by Fanny. He says, "In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil, hope. My oath, his covenant, his blood, support me in the whelming flood, hope. When all around me my soul gives way, God is all my hope and stay, all my hope. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, hope." See, hope is all around us. We just have to see it. And when God passes before us, it's his goodness, his hope, and his love is what he's speaking to our hearts. Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers, and Lord, you hear the message of hope. God, we need your hope imparted to our lives every day, that you remind us of your promises, you remind us of your presence, you remind us of all the good that you are doing and will continue to do through us, and that, Lord, our world around us is all according to plan. We thank you that you are with us in each situation. We trust you. We trust you. Lead and guide us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. blessed hope. Amen.